Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
Now, Rick, what do you think of the SNFL Grand Final, which was, in our time yesterday, it was a sensational game between the Eagles and Sturt?
Well, Robert, I don't know whether you know this. This could come as a complete surprise, but I am the proverbial Sturt man from way back. I used to play for Sturt, I barrack for Sturt, and I always have. And so it was one of the greatest games of football I've ever seen.
Wow, you could have had me fooled. I thought you were Port Adelaide dyed-in-the-wall fan.
Oh, well, we're talking about the SANFL. I'm a Sturt man.
Okay, yeah, no, I know you're a Sturt fan. My grandparents were big Sturt supporters, and a second cousin actually played for Sturt, so I've got a strong leaning to Sturt, but the Bulldog Central District for me every time.
I'd never worked out that you were a Bulldogs fan, Robert. That's amazing. But no, Sturt has always been with me from the moment that I was born in Mitcham and lived in Mitcham and played cricket and footy for Sturt. And most of my mates around school time were Sturt men, although Sandy Nelson, Philip Nelson, played with me at, all went to Scotch College. But there were a few traitors. Ross Haslam played for Scotch and he went to Port Adelaide. Ken Smith was a boarder at Scotch and played for Glenelg. We had a pretty useful side, actually.
Yeah, sounds good. And I suppose you were the captain?
Well, funnily enough, you should mention that. I did. They must have been feeling sorry for little short blokes.
We'll talk a little bit about your experiences playing the junior footy for Sturt a bit later, but back to this SNFL Grand Final. I mean, the Eagles were red hot favourites last year and went down to West LA, and this year they're red hot favourites again and they go down to Sturt. And interestingly, with Sturt, their last flag was 2002, and it was a similar situation where they lost every game to Central District in the minor round and the second semi and came back and beat the Dogs. And same thing this year. Sturt lost to the Eagles every time in the minor round, lost the second semi and came back and won.
Well, absolutely 100% correct with detail, Rob. I think the thing I give credit to, apart from the blokes who ran around on the ground for Sturt, is I think they had done so much research, and I give amazing amount of credit to Marty Matner, because I think they'd analysed what they had to do to win the game. And in the previous three encounters, they got basically blown off the park in the first quarter. And although it annoyed me for a while, what they'd obviously planned to do was that at no stage were they going to let the ball go into the centre corridor. And all they wanted to do was basically be on equal terms with the Eagles at quarter time. And so they just kicked the ball slowly, they possessed and they kicked around the boundary line and never attempted to go into the centre corridor and thus restricted opportunities for the Eagles. And it was a brilliant piece of coaching, I reckon.
Yes, yeah, so you've got to take your hat off to Marty Matner. He did the same as what Phillips did in 2002. First year coach, took them to the flag. It's there must be something in the water down there at Unley for the way they keep sort of coming up when everyone thinks they've gone. Like last year, they finished eighth and they've come back and won the flag. It's, you've got to take your hat off to them. It's a magnificent club, and I must admit I enjoyed the game. The game was tense throughout. It was only late in the game where Sturt kicked a couple of goals just around the time-on period of the last quarter where it put it beyond issue. But I didn't think the Eagles played bad. I just thought Sturt played better. Their game plan, as you said, was fantastic. And their tackling and their pressure impressed me. It was really hot.
Well, again, I completely agree with you. It seems to me in modern-day football that everything is about tackling. You know, it's a bit like drawing a parallel with cricket, that once upon a time you just went out and scored runs or bowled balls, whereas now they've employed baseball coaches for fielding, etc., etc. And so it's the fielding that applies pressure. Now, in the modern football game, tackling is what it's all about. And it's just giving no one time and space to do things. And if they do attempt to do anything, then it's under enormous pressure. And I think we talked about that last week in the Barossa and Light Grand Final, where I think, you know, the odds-on favourites Gawler got beaten simply because they couldn't handle the pressure that Barossa had put on them. And I think we saw that in a couple of the AFL semi-finals and preliminary finals so far. And I think this was a perfect example with Sturt analysing what they had to do to stay in the game against a side that had beaten them three times already, carrying out the game plan, and then, you know, again, it given all those things, then the ball's got to come out the centre. And I thought that Jack Osborne, the Sturt ruckman, was fantastic in getting his hand on the ball, despite the fact that he wasn't even meant to start, you know, as the favourite ruckman on the ground. Sure, everything went right, but I think there was a lot of planning went into that game.
No, there really was, and there's a few highlights there that, you know, Jack Stevens got the Jack Odie medal for best on ground. That mark he took where he came across the pack, it was a highlight. I mean, there was another good mark that McGregor took for the Eagles, which arguably could have been paid to the Sturt man, but they were both real big highlights. And some of the goals that were kicked, that goal that Leonard kicked in the third quarter from the impossible pocket there, they call it the Eddie Betts pocket, I think. And, you know, that I was watching, I was right behind it and I was watching the kick and I'm thinking to myself, he's got to put a lot of white post on this one for it to go through. But the trajectory of the kick, I thought it would miss, but he kicked it so straight and so accurately that it didn't veer and it went straight through, and it was a magnificent goal.
It was. And I haven't seen a lot of him, but I actually thought that he wasn't best on the ground. I think they gave Jack Stevens the best on the ground, and he deserved it. But I think Leonard's the one who is potentially an AFL footballer. At his height and his weight, his agility, to me, he was the standout potential if someone's going to grab him for greater honours at a higher level. The other guy who got credit, but particularly in the first half, seemed to bob up everywhere, was Greenslade. He put in a fantastic performance. And, of course, Zane Kirkwood is Zane Kirkwood. But I thought Greenslade, particularly in those first two quarters, when Sturt were really just trying to stick, you know, with the Eagles so that they were fair square at half-time, he played a very important role.
Yeah, he seemed to bob up. That number one sort of takes your eye when it when he sort of like comes out of nowhere, and he seemed to run into spots and generate a couple of goals. He was good. And a lot of people ask me, is he any relation to Malcolm Greenslade that used to play? But I did a bit of research and found out he wasn't a direct descendant. But, of course, Malcolm Greenslade kicked something like 7 or 8 goals in the grand final back in the 60s.
He did. I was lucky briefly mentioning my spasm of football at Sturt. I was very lucky to play with Malcolm Greenslade, and we had some great times together, actually. It was a great era back in those days at Sturt, and we've got a short period of greatness at Sturt now. I mean, I think the important thing to remember is that it's only but a handful, less than a handful years ago, that Sturt were basically facing oblivion, that they were financially gone. And to think that, they've really resurrected themselves. They've risen from the ashes to not only survive, but then to come out and grab a grand final against what were overwhelming odds that they weren't going to do it is, it's just what the doctor ordered.
It's one of those good news sporting stories that you always like to read and hear about. I mean, it's a little bit like the old Footscray Western Bulldogs making their first grand final since 1961 and against the Swannies. I mean, two teams that have been doormat type teams for many years in the AFL, and they're in the grand final. So that's, you know, fantastic. And Sturt winning, you know, you could tell the crowd. I mean, I reckon there would have been 75-80% of the crowd were barracking for Sturt. And then when there were some key moments in the last quarter where they were kicking goals, the noise just lifted the roof off. It was just, I don't know how it sounded on television, but being there live, it you almost felt like you had to have earplugs on, but you didn't want it because it was the hair on the back of your neck stood up.
Yes, we Aussies have got a bit of a sort of reputation for the underdog, although you must feel, having said all that, being a Sturt supporter, you've got a feel for the Eagles. A bit like Gawler Central, they get to grand finals and can't win them, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. And you mentioning the Western Bulldogs and Sydney, you'd almost think from what I get the vibe of that Sydney are actually Collingwood in disguise, that unless you're actually barracking for Sydney themselves, every other club will want the Western Bulldogs to win the game. And it's wonderful. You know, it's history. They haven't been there. They haven't done it. And you never know. It could be three in a row. They say things come in threes. Gawler got beaten. The Eagles got beaten. Maybe Sydney get beaten.
Just touching on the Eagles, they didn't really play that bad. There was, like Prochenko, they put him as best player, but I didn't think he was anywhere near as effective as he was in the second semi. The big player for them, of course, was Wanke, who kicked five goals, and he is a big game player for them, but their other forwards sort of fell by the wayside, and the way the game was structured and played out, that area, the half-forward type wing, that 40-yard circular around where the 50-metre arc is towards the centre. In that type of area, Sturt generated half their goals from that, but the Eagles couldn't get anything going in that particular area. That's where they broke down continuously.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's all down to pressure. I mean, I think that was the reason that Sturt wanted to keep the ball out of the centre corridor, didn't want to give them space so they could deliver the ball. And in fact, you know, give credit to the bloke, he kicked five goals, but he really was on his own, and through his amazing strength, he pushed, you know, he normally had a couple of blokes on him, but there was no method, you know, and we talk about method and plan. There was no method in the way that Woodville West Torrens went forward, because I think Sturt just hammered them so much that they didn't have any time nor space to do the things that they thought they were going to be able to do.
No, it was a very good game to watch. Looking through the footy budget, there was a few, obviously, Sturt stories in there, and one was about Paul Bagshaw, but another one was in regards to the dynasty under Jack Odie, and it was about the 1966 to the 1976 period where they won seven premierships. And interestingly enough, the 1966 flag broke a 26-year drought for Sturt, and after 76, there was another 26-year drought to 2002. Two players played in all seven of those Jack Odie-led premierships, Paul Bagshaw and Sandy Nelson. And interestingly enough, Paul Bagshaw's father played in the 1940 flag 26 years before 66, and Sandy's son, Ben Nelson, played in 2002. That's amazing symmetry.
It is indeed. And they're both absolute thorough gentlemen, and fortunately I can proudly say that I'm friends with both of them. I played both cricket and football with them, and they were very, very talented people. It was an amazing era, that Otie era, which I was privileged enough to be part of, and they called him the ugly duckling, but Rick Shoffert, centre-half back, who basically was described as he couldn't mark, he couldn't kick, he couldn't do anything, but he was the state centre-half back, and he was the one, and Jack being absolutely, hell-bent on skills and perfection, was absolutely besotted by Shoff because he couldn't do any of those things, but he was a great footballer. Great. I mean, I can remember training with them, and Odie would get frustrated and tell Shoff to go over onto the far wing and practice trying to kick the ball. And he wasn't. He kicked the ball all right, but he looked very inefficient. But gee, was well state centre half back. Say no more, really.
I've got a lot of good friends who are Sturt supporters, yourself and Peter Cornwall, who's a good mate of mine. So, whereas I wouldn't go as far as saying Sturt's my second team, they're probably the team I like best of the others.
Well, Robert, you are almost saying I love Central second as well, so there you go.
Well, thank you very much. It concludes another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.